WGN Tower.
Now, remember, you're all a big part of the show. We're on in 10 seconds, so get ready to have a good time. All right, here we go. This is exciting, isn't it?
In 5, 4, 3, 2...
Now let us imagine that you're in the middle of your program.
You must identify your station.
You might say...
W-G-N.
Right here. Here.
Good afternoon, America. Did you enjoy the Masters over the weekend? Bubba puts on the green jacket again? All right.
Somebody's got to give a sh**, not me.
To celebrate, we had golf ball size hail here. But the oddest golf course story emerged from the UK over the weekend, where the remains of a man missing 3 years ago were found 40 feet up on a tree at the Myrick Park Golf Course.
Well, that's cast rather a gloom over the evening, hasn't it?
I've heard of guys spending a lot of time looking for their ball in the woods, but after 20 minutes, just take the one-stroke penalty already.
Well, we're waiting.
The number of shootings each weekend in Chicago for the last 4 weeks have risen steadily. 17, 19, 25, and most recently, 35 as of yesterday afternoon. Not included in those numbers, Nishan Shelton didn't want to pay the 22-cent tax on his bottle of Pepsi, so he pulled out a submachine gun and threatened everybody in the store.
Your behavior is completely inappropriate.
I smell a CNN renewal of Chicagoland.
If I put this up your butt, you'll find out how effective it is.
I'm Gary Meyer, broadcasting from the Allstate Glass Box on your Blackhawks, Cubs, Nation Mothership, the 720 Dreamliner, the Super G, WGN, Chicago! Middle of the afternoon, Dreamliner is up. Happy Passover, Tom.
Oh, thank you, Gary. This music makes me feel like we're going into the Outer Limits or something. What is this?
It should. It's vanilla fudge, my man.
Is this vanilla
it's
fudge?
It's the fudge.
Oh, my
word. Like you didn't play this wherever you
no,
were.
No, I didn't. Is this, me hanging on?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is.
It's probably too long for you to play at your top 40 station.
Yeah, they probably clipped off the musical bed in the front of the song to save time.
The reason I'm using this, last night on the premiere of Mad Men for their final season, this was played at the end of
I recognize this now. Yeah if it started here, then I would have known what it was. Yeah.
It was played at the end of the episode. If you didn't see it, was there.
I missed it. I'm sorry.
And a nice use of Spencer Davis' I'm a Man during
like
the program.
That. Yeah.
Do you watch that show at all?
You know what? I haven't gotten into it.
Okay.
No. You know what? I watched that Kevin Spacey thing on Netflix. Netflix. Yeah, great show.
I've heard great things about that. I haven't gotten to that yet.
But I guess I've taken my time doing something like that. But I've got to
there's too much.
This Mad Men. I know there
too
is.
Too much.
Lots of stuff out there. There really is. It's really good, though. You like this.
I do. I like Mad Men, and I'm just starting to get into Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Behind on that, I know.
Yeah, I am. I'm behind on that, too. Yeah. That won renewal, right, for another
five years
or 2 years or something?
And the weather has taken a sharp turn.
Oh, gosh.
Now, the cold out there is April cold, which doesn't feel as bad as February cold, I have to say. It was not pleasant compared to yesterday or Saturday, but it's an April cold, and it's not as cold.
This is stunning. I mean, I've seen weekends with temperature turnarounds, but this one isn't. This sets a new benchmark for that. We went up to 80 Saturday. Started yesterday, went up to 68 at 11 o'clock. Within 2 hours, we had dense fog, and it dropped to the 40s at the lakefront. Then last night, about 11 o'clock, we shot back up into the 60s again. Everybody slept through that, and our high for the day will go down in the books is 64, because that's what it was at midnight. And we stayed in the 60s till about 2 in the morning, and then by mid-morning, it crashed to the upper 30s. And now we're looking at the potential for some wet snow that may stick on some of the grassy surfaces and in parts of the area.
I'm getting a number of texts, Tom. Snowing. Yeah, snowing in Naperville at Elk Grove Village.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, and you know, not unusual. 66% of years, and we have 129 years of snow records around here, have had snow. And about a quarter of those have had sticking snow. So it's not unheard of. And the biggest snow we had was 6.7 inches in an April 14-15 snowstorm back in 61. So, you know, those are, you can get some real windshield wiper breakers in this at this time of the year.
Now, people asking about the blood moon that's coming overnight.
Yeah, I doubt we're going to see that.
Yeah, too cloudy.
Yeah, going to be pretty cloudy. We may get some breaks in the clouds toward morning in some areas, but yeah, I don't think we're going to get a chance to see that tonight.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Not here. You have to drive west to get out of the clouds.
How far?
Oh, I'd go out to maybe just Iowa, you know.
Oh, okay. I'll leave at 5:30 then.
Right, I'm sure you will.
Make sure I'm settled into a motor lodge.
Absolutely. I know how you love these blood red moons and all. You know, you're just kind of an astronomy sort of guy, you know.
I am. I love watching the skies because I know something's going to drop out of it at some point.
Right. You figure maybe you'll see the asteroid coming in before
and
it
I'll
hits,
be able
right?
to get a head start on it.
Yeah.
Tom, hang on.
All right, Gary.
Just pause very briefly and get right back to it on the Super G. You ever had bunions, Tom?
No, I haven't.
I haven't either.
No, I'm very lucky. My mother did.
Yeah, and she made you rub them?
No.
Rub my bunions.
No, she took a, this will sound gross, she took a razor blade and cut some of those things off because they, you know, most of them are pretty tough and, you know, they don't have any feeling in them. So I couldn't look, I mean, when this was going on, so.
Yeah, there are a lot of foot ailments that are just disgusting.
Yeah.
And you should get those taken care of.
You should.
And that's what that commercial was all about.
Yes.
And I'm getting all kinds of texts. Hey, that about the hail that happened over the weekend.
Big hail, yeah.
And some cars at a dealership got damaged
I
in
believe
Barrington.
It. I was sent pictures, Gary, of hailstones that were laying next to a tennis ball just to illustrate their size, and other ones laying next to golf ball size hailstones. And it was really quite remarkable. Also, some of the rain that came down north of here. I mean, the Madison, Wisconsin area had 4 to 5.5 inches of rain. We had up to 1.5 inches up in the northern suburbs. And so it was really a very peculiar weekend.
It'd be funny to have golf ball size hail come down during a golf tournament.
I know.
Hey, where's my ball? Where'd it go?
You know, it's amazing. Some people were golfing out in Rockford and sent me a picture of this green.
Oh, they had that happen then?
Yeah. And, I mean, these balls, it looked like.
Where's my ball?
Yeah. A ball sitting down there among these balls, you know, golf ball size.
They were able to find their ball?
I guess. Although none of them climbed the tree like that that guy you were talking about.
Yeah, that story in the opening.
Wow.
This guy, 3 years ago, he went missing. They just found his skeletal remains in the tree. And they don't know anything about why he was up there or
why
nobody
have
discovered
seen
him. A guy did find some bones at the base of the tree several months ago, but just picked them up and never told anybody.
Or never decided to look up and see.
I guess I'll just take these home.
Jeez.
So then when they found his body, the guy walked over and said, oh, I found these a few months ago. You might want them. Wow.
Wow. So was this a heavily leaved tree or something like that?
Tom, that's all I had. I gave you everything I got from the story. They just found his body 3 years after he went up there.
Wow. That's amazing.
Why he was up there and why he stayed up there and all that's still not clear.
I think this is something for the WGN investigative unit. I think we ought to put them to work on that and find out what happened there. That sounds like a heck of a story. Wow.
And before S&M left, they were talking about the iPass, and there was a discussion about you need
to have transponder.
The transponder in all the cars, even if they're all registered to a transponder. And there's a flurry of texts that say you don't need the transponder, you do need the transponder. Leslie was wrong in saying you needed a transponder. What is your take on that, Tom? You only have one car, right?
Yeah, I do.
So I've only had one
transponder. I have no take on it, Gary. I don't know. I trust Leslie, and Leslie said, I guess you can register multiple license plates, she said, on one transponder, but then you've got to move it from one car to the next. And it would seem to me it'd be pretty easy to get in your car, forget to put it in there.
Right, so wouldn't they have your license plates on record, and then they could go, he's got a transponder, we'll just deduct it from that account.
I would think.
Why is that so difficult?
You know what always amazes me is they, you know, you go underneath these sensors and all the rest. I look at the trouble that we have with our home computers and computers in our workspace, and yet they never seem to have these things. Why don't these ever break down so that they miss charges and all? it shows they can keep this technology going if they want to.
How would you know if they're charging you too much? Do you check your transponder statement?
And when you go through, you know, one of these off-ramps, there'll be a light that comes on near the sensor. But, when you're going down, like, the I-88.
Don't they just add more onto your account when it's running
the
end?
Right.
Right? Don't they have your charge card?
Either that or they get to touch with you by email and say you better recharge your
account.
But
I wouldn't know if I've used several dollars worth or,
I know,
or one toll. I don't remember.
It's true. And we're also depending on them to be honest about, you know, and have an accurately working system, which it must be because you never hear anybody complaining about it.
Well, it's a lot better than sitting in those lines, which we did for years.
Well, I had an intern who was coming into work, and he, like most of us, had looked down into his little change cup, you know, next to the driver's seat. And by the time he looked up, he was ready to plow into a car in front of him. He totaled his car, and I used to wonder about that all the time when you slowed down and you were looking, fumbling for change to throw in those change receptacles.
The lines, that's what killed you.
Oh.
Just waiting to get to the toll basket.
Yeah.
You'd think that technology would have been here earlier than it came in, because I thought when you tried to, and Barbara, I know you're there, hang on, when you tried to steal a shirt at Goldblatt's back in the day,
sure,
they had those
sensors on them.
Those sensors, those cabinets at the door, and something on the shirt, and when you passed it, if you tried to steal it, it would go off. It seems like that's the same technology as
absolutely
an iPass.
Absolutely.
And that was way back in the 70s.
It's true.
We've only had the iPass for, what, about 15, 20 years?
Yeah.
If that.
And it is an amazing convenience. On the other hand, you figure it makes it easier to slip a fee in there to us all, you know, because we don't see it right away.
Again, who's tracking this? Barbara, what is on your mind?
I just wanted to tell you, I'm up in Lake Zurich, and we're getting an awful lot of snow up here.
Yes.
Yeah, the snow is... you know, we have a couple of model forecasts of 1 or 2 inches of wet snow. Now, most of this will be on grassy surfaces or colder outdoor surfaces. But, yeah, it's looking pretty impressive on the radar. Right,
Barbara, now, instead of a snowman, make an Easter bunny out of the snow.
Sure.
How much do you have down, Barbara, right now up your way?
Pardon me?
How much do you think you have on the ground already up there?
Well, you can't see it on the ground. It's just coming down so hard. But I also want to tell you that on that storm we had Saturday,
yes,
I walked in my kitchen because it was so noisy, and I thought, what is that? Yeah. Just as I got in the kitchen, here I see my kitchen window get broken.
Oh, my
by
word.
Hail.
Gee. How big were the hailstones in your area? We're hearing anywhere from tennis ball size to golf ball size.
Well, I took pictures off of my balcony, and I would say they were a little bit bigger than a quarter.
So that goes to the insurance now. You submit that picture with your insurance, Barbara.
No, there's a $500 deductible. Oh. It doesn't help me at all.
Yeah.
But it was the wind that drove that hail into the window.
Yeah. 50-plus mile-an-hour gusts in that.
Thank you. Tom, are you going to show the picture of the golf ball with the golf ball size hail?
Gary, we've got a wealth of riches in these pictures. Yeah, we're going to show those tonight. I show some on the noon show, too.
Put it up and go, where's the golf ball? Show me where the golf ball is.
Where do you see these ones with the tennis ball there? I mean, you almost lose that thing. It's stunning how big these things were.
And that is going on not in that way right now.
Right.
In the northern section, as far as snow, but no more hail.
No, the hail is gone. Hail is a unique product of a thunderstorm. You can only get hail in a thunderstorm. When you get those little ice pellets that freeze, those are called sleet, and that's formed differently than hail. Hail is formed by an ice, you know, a little kernel of ice that's has water being blown up as the storm's updraft is occurring, and it's in a region of the cloud where it's below freezing. So the hailstone literally accretes. It grows larger as the water freezes on it. And that's why when you cut through a hailstone, you can see concentric rings oftentimes as each layer of water has been coated on this growing mass of ice. And then when the updrafts die, the hail then collapses down to the ground. So the only way you get huge hailstones like that is to have an incredibly strong thunderstorm producing an updraft that can hold all that mass of that ice up there, and then it comes crashing down. And does a lot of damage.
Tom, Mother Nature just has a bag of tricks, doesn't she?
She does. It's an amazing... This atmosphere is pretty incredible.
All right, 6 o'clock. Let's do it again.
Gary.
Thanks, Tom.
Bye.
WGN. Why can't that be the headline instead of 35 shot over the weekend? Yikes. Well, jeez. As I said Friday, my gun don't work when it's 40, but it works nice when it's 80. And it was working real fine over the weekend. It's the Wild West out there in some neighborhoods.
And it's gone up every weekend in the last month.
As I mentioned in my opening, the last four weekends, every week, starting 4 weeks ago, has gone up in the shootings. And then we wonder why Chicagoland, that CNN series, focuses on the shootings.
And it's not even summer yet.
Wait till it really gets hot.
In a row.
Boom. There she goes. Steve, are you looking at the texts? Because there's one directed to you about your grammar in that last newscast.
Awesome. I can't wait. What was it? I didn't see it. No.
90% have not.
You said
I think it's 90% of us has not. I think that is correct, but maybe
us,
not.
Us have.
Yeah, okay, maybe I'm wrong, but I did think about it, and I went with the has. So it was a conscious group.
Well, plural.
90% has not.
Plural is
90% of us have not. Yeah, it's probably should
us
be
is
have.
Plural.
Okay, so
it
should be have.
Yeah. Right. Usually have Mondays off.
All right, don't try to throw something past the listeners. They're going to catch every time.
Yeah.
They're waiting for it. And I got a text about the Mad Men, the debut of the final season last night. I saw a review in the New York Times, which in essence said that the series has overstayed its welcome. It's probably a couple years past where it should have left. I think some of that is born out of the fact that there's too much time between the seasons. And while that time is going by and then you see it's coming back, your expectations, I think, ramp up. Plus, I forget about the plot line. This text says, why did Ken wear a patch, an eye patch? There's one character that has an eye patch, and I had no memory of why he was wearing an eye patch. Did he get hit in the eye in the final episode last year?
There was something where he was at a dinner, I thought, or something. And he got hit in the eye.
Okay.
And but I don't remember.
In my headphones, Craig said he was in a hunting accident.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
He was in a hunting accident.
Right. That's right. Yeah, it could have been a dinner.
Or maybe it was. I think they were hunting for dinner.
As you said Friday when I said the last two Hawks games are meaningless.
And wasn't I correct? Look at who the Hawks are playing. They're playing the Blues because the Blues.
But the games that the Hawks played were meaningless.
But the
Hawks
main
games, that's all I said.
The main thrust
that's
of
all
my
I said.
Comment was of how the Hawks,
that's all I said.
Who they would play in the playoffs was still up for grabs. The other thing was just side stuff.
Right. Sure. Okay. Whatever you need to do to make yourself right.
But I thought Mad Men was good yesterday.
Again, people have high expectations when there's a long time.
Well, it's been almost a year.
And it will be a year from the last, from these seven episodes to the last seven episodes. And I guess that works according to AMC. They did it with Breaking Bad, so that's why they told the creator, we're going to do it this way for Mad Men. And I don't think he has any choice in the matter. He said, okay, if it worked for them, let's do it. He didn't want to do it that way, but he's going to do it that way. 312-981-7200. He was in a hunting accident in Detroit with the car client. That's right.
Yeah.
Forgot all about that.
Yeah. Well, thankfully, they did play yesterday morning. They did play the final episode on AMC, and I was able to record that and watch it because I had forgotten a lot of the storylines. I forgot Pete was going to California and all that other stuff.
Well, that's the way they do it. And back in the day, shows used to be 30, 33 episodes in a season. And over the years, broadcast went to 22. Some of these seasons are 15 on broadcast television. I think the last year of Friends was 15 episodes. And cable, forget about it, 8 to 10. 7 is the season for Mad Men, 7 and 7. But it's not unusual to have 6, 7 episodes. That's a season.
And I got to say, if you added up the time, I never saw so many commercials on a TV show.
Yeah, that's why
holy cow.
Sopranos on HBO, no commercials.
Because didn't
bang,
you say
boom.
How long is a drama, usually?
An hour show on broadcast television is 48 minutes of content.
No way is that Mad Men.
And half hour is 22 minutes.
I bet you it's like 40. Every 2 seconds, they go to black.
Yeah, and then I went over and watched that MTV Movie Awards show when they were in commercials.
Ooh.
And, geez, what the heck is that?
And why
really?
And why is Conan doing that? That's not his audience. I mean, and that's so, for...
Because somebody...
It's for high school kids.
Somebody knows somebody who's a friend of Conan and said, can you have him do the emceeing? Because he's odd man out with all this late night stuff. And that's what he did.
He really is yesterday's news. You don't hear about
wow.
him at all.
Ouch.
Well, where do you hear about him?
Right here. I'm talking about him. That's a start. That's the kind of thing that can make you famous. And Frank, what up?
Hello.
Hello.
Steve's grammar was correct. A majority is singular, and he used it properly. 90%, a majority, he used the proper grammar.
So the sentence was, Steve, 90% has not made up their mind.
Of us.
Or 90% has made up of their us mind. Has, yeah.
Of us doesn't matter. It's 90%. That's the singular. He was right.
90% has would be correct.
That's right.
90% has made up their mind. Thank you, Frank.
Bye.
And the story was that Rauner is leading Quinn by 3 percentage points?
Yeah, 43 to 40%, which I don't know if that should be hugely surprising because the nice. I mean, it's early. You know, Rauner just won the primary and had a lot of publicity for that. So, but it's,
and there's
it's
plus or minus 3%.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
right?
it's very
so
close.
It's probably
steady.
Even if you.
It's interesting
look
that
way.
They're going to be fighting over 10% of the vote, though. That's all that's undecided right now is 10%. 90% of us has made up our mind.
That's correct. Well, he said it was correct. And after this break, oh, first of all, I got this email from Matt. It says, Tom Skilling is confusing bunions with corns. He said his mother took a razor blade and cut them off. Corns are a growth of dead skin on the toes. Bunions are a malformation of the bone structure along the inside of the foot. They require surgery.
Maybe she just did it at home.
That's what they did. They didn't want to go to the doctor back then.
He said he couldn't watch it.
No.
So it must have been disgusting.
And she would bite down on a rag with whiskey and just cut away. WGN. GM on GN, as you may have noticed the last 2 weeks when the Cubs are on at the same time I'm usually on. Once a week I go to the stream and do my show from 3 to 7, rejoin the AM when the Cubs game is over. But the stream is the stream for all it's worth. And I mentioned last week that I'd like to have a phone number dedicated to your phone calls where you call that number and leave something on there of some note, and I would be able to play those phone calls on the stream. And I do have a phone number to accommodate that now. So if you want to leave a message. Now, if you go out of your way just to swear and stuff, that isn't going to probably make it. But if it's constructive, and that in itself is wobbly, but give it a shot, 312-222-5404, 312-222-5404, leave a message, and I'll grab the ones I think you'd all enjoy and play them on Friday's show. This is the next streaming show. It would be Friday, starting at 3 o'clock.
Maybe your Cub fan will leave
I
a
doubt
message.
If he'll go that route. He's already left me a message on my voicemail,
and
I haven't even talked about the Cubs yet. And I can't imagine he's happy about where they're at.
Well, 6 games out isn't bad.
Yeah, well, you can make that up in a couple weeks.
Oh, yeah.
No problem. There was a story in the New York Times, and it pointed out how, and this is not really news, because early in the season, when the weather is still not good, you're going to get a lot of ballparks that are just about empty, and we thought White Sox Park suffered that last week. But they showed about 4 or 5 clubs around the country, and I could have counted all the people in the stands from the picture. One of them being Toronto, and they have a roof. So it wasn't the weather. People just didn't show up. And they're wondering if this is just because it's early in the season or if this is going to be something that endures through the whole season.
I wonder if Toronto has a retractable dome, though.
I don't know. I
was there last year, but I don't
you didn't
remember.
Notice that there was a seam?
Well, it was a nice day, so it was open. So I
well, then it's retractable because it was closed in this article.
Was it? No, maybe
yeah,
it wasn't.
There you go. Look at you think.
I don't know.
All right.
It seemed like it was a nice day.
And I said they had a roof, so it was closed.
Okay.
Yeah.
But like, you know, like they showed Miami. Miami never gets people. They have never, even when they won the World Series, they didn't get
anybody. They have an enclosed stadium?
No, I'm not even going to say anymore.
You don't even know.
But a lot of the cities that they did show were all cold weather cities.
Okay.
There was Kansas City, Cleveland. You know, I mean, come on.
Okay.
It's been raining
so
and cold.
So the MLB hierarchy doesn't consider keeping all those games in the South until late April. They do this every year, and they suffer that attendance, which that's gone now, the first few weeks of the season. You get 1,000 people here, 300 there. I don't know what good that does you, but they keep doing it. Not my problem. So that number will be on my Facebook page and WGNradio.com if you want to leave a message, and we'll go through those and play some on Friday during the stream. Steve had a story in his newscast, I believe at 3 o'clock, about this bear that attacked a woman in Florida. And she said that she was attacked by 5 bears when she went into the garage to dump some garbage.
Otis Wilson. Who else? Which other bears?
Dent. McMaine.
Danimal.
Butthead. But the funny thing is, let me just read the story. A Seminole County woman was hospitalized Saturday after being attacked by a 200-pound bear. And to give the bear's poundage is just wrong. He's working on it.
Why embarrass them?
Well, usually this is when they have their bikini bodies, though, because they've just come out of hibernation.
Right.
And
used to be. That's down from 400.
Right.
Yes.
They juice over the winter.
Yeah. The woman told investigators that she was walking from her home to her garage when she encountered 5 bears. The first one, how does the 3 bears?
Was too big.
Too big.
Was too big. And then the last one was just right.
Just right. Okay. Yeah. Encountered 5 bears rummaging through the garbage that she kept inside her garage. When the bear saw her, they pounced. The bears dragged her out of the garage, but somehow the woman was able to escape and run into her home to call for help. She had injuries to her head, scratches on her face. And then the Florida Fish and Wildlife officer that attended to this said, as far as we know, there was only 1 bear. So how do you have from 5 to 1?
It felt like 5.
Well, the witnesses said they saw more than 1, but they think there was only 1 that actually attacked.
So now they're on a bear killing spree down there, and Steve reported they've killed, what, 4 bears?
4 or 5, yeah.
Think you got it yet? And I said to Steve when he came by my office to talk about the story, I said, who was there first, the bears or the people? And he was ready to go with, well, those people, you know, they've been there a long
time.
That was,
Jim,
was all swamp down
Jim,
there.
Jim, shut up. Now let me make my point. No, I think you'll find a lot of people say that there are more animals now than there have ever been. In this state, there are more raccoon than there have ever been. There are more deer than there have ever been. There's certainly more coyotes than in any time in our lifetime.
But we have encroached on their habitat.
When you think
of
Florida,
okay,
though,
Jim,
isn't it
but
swampy? And just before it started to build like it is, wasn't it all that and a bag of chips of animals?
Well, yeah, one time, sure. I mean, you might be right, but I wonder if the bear population is up or down or the same as it's been. I bet it's up dramatically.
Well, the companion piece to that story is this one. As human habitats expand into even smaller wildlife areas, the coexistence of creatures, great and small, can be thrown out of balance and become dangerous. When people and bears end up in close quarters, the result can be a close encounter of the worst kind.
And the bear usually wins.
Boo, 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 boo. These days, in a place like Lake Tahoe, it's not hard to find a 400-pound black bear sacking out for winter. According to bear watcher Ann Bryant, bears are becoming so comfortable around people that this winter about half of them just invited themselves to stay over. Some have developed a habit of taking cover and sleeping under houses, while others have skipped hibernation altogether and porked out to double their normal sizes. They find garbage and some people put food out for them. They see a bear in winter and say, oh, the poor bear looks hungry, and leave a bowl of food out.
That's not a good idea. We're going to come back.
Bear-proofing garbage cans and garages, as that woman found out, in one way is a way to stop so-called dumpster diving. But so many bears are dependent on human food that some are forgetting how to forage for food and begun breaking into houses. This one woman said a bear broke into her house, into her refrigerator, and made a mess with a can of beer. We ended up with glue made out of flour and beer. Yeah, these bears are going to go in and start mixing and matching. And then this story here, we have had people who have painted peanut butter on kids' faces so the bear will come and lick the peanut butter off the child's face and get a picture of it.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
Nice selfie.
312-981-7200, WGN.